Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely gorgeous co-host.
Me.
Miss Lorna Bike. How are you doing?
Great. I'm good. You?
Good. I'm all right. Yeah. We kind of survived the first half of the show, just. There's a lot of corpsing going on.
I quite like this new you.
What new me?
The sassy you.
The sassy Mr. Andrews.
Have you noticed something different about him in the second half of the show?
What's that?
He's taking his jacket off. He's
yeah. I'm ready for action now.
Jason, you are in for it.
Yeah. I need words with Jason here. Yeah.
Between you and I.
Yeah.
It's fine. If we get these two to move out, we'll have a few.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But before we talk to Jason, we've got to kind of gird our loins first.
That wasn't in the book, was it?
Yeah. There's a whole technique behind that.
Where does the meaning from that come? Because there'll be a meaning of girdering your loins.
I think it's when you used to pull the cloth up round so that you could start running.
Yeah.
So obviously you were wearing a long cloaky thing.
Do you know what? I'm not looking it up. I love that you're right. You can have that, Jason.
It doesn't matter, Jason. It doesn't matter if he's right. It just sounded perfect.
That's fine. Yeah. If you say anything convincingly enough, I've learned from Paul Andrews,
exactly.
It must be true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's an old Martian thing.
Is that when you were a Martian?
Yeah.
You came to Earth?
Yeah. Did I never tell you I used to be a Martian?
Well, you're only in Tenterden now. You're nearly still a Martian.
Yeah, true. Did you see what she did there? That was a brilliant link, wasn't it? That was clever,
she's
actually.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
For what?
Well, it was a play on Marsh.
Yeah.
Martian. Get it?
No.
No, you've got to explain it all, haven't you? I'll tell you what. Do you want to read us an email?
I've already done one.
Well, you can do another one, can't you? What, you want to work to rule or something?
Not that one.
Yeah. You can't do that to me.
Oh, she can't read it now.
Okay. Right, yeah. Poster Girl's going to read this one. Kent Business School is organising the third Kent Business Summit held at the University of Kent Sibson Building on Canterbury Campus on Friday the 10th of January 2020 from 9 till 4:30. Do you know what? I know everybody's going to this year.
Yeah, it's going to be a big
You have to go. Rift Jeanette, you know are you going?
After you said about it to me last time, I felt a little bit bullied. So I have actually registered. I just haven't paid.
Oh.
And there's the accountant for you. This event is made possible through generous support from head sponsor Crow and media partner in KM Media Group. Over 400 Kent business leaders, local government, decision makers and academic experts are expected to attend the county's flagship event. To work constructively on tackling regional challenges and how to promote Kent as a sustainable, innovative, forward-thinking and outward-looking county. Full details of the day's programme and booking link can be found at www.kentbusinessradio.co.uk/KBS/. And I'm really hoping that there's a certain agency that turn up. I really want them to turn up.
Which agency?
That would be the Highways Agency, isn't it? Because
that would help us. They would have come, but they're stuck in a traffic jam.
Yeah, that would help with our sustainability, our innovation and our forward thinking.
Imagine if we could move around the county.
Yeah, their team coach got stuck in a pothole.
What a thought.
Imagine that.
So please come along, Highways Agency.
Yeah.
Cool. Just going back to the first half of the show, have you seen these gifts from Sandra Spitfire and Amanda Flanders of Reliant Robin Racing?
Yeah.
Amazing.
We've got gifts going everywhere.
They could just send an effigy. It would have the same purpose.
Certainly would.
Cool. Right. I want to be sensible for a moment.
We were really sensible there.
I want to tell you about this because I think this is a really good program. It's a bit long, but I want to tell you about it. It's a new engineering training program to bring low-skilled and unemployed people into the manufacturing and engineering industries. Do you know, you can't answer this because I asked you this last week. Do you know the average age of a qualified engineering technician in the UK currently?
I think it's going to be quite old. I think probably in the
You need 60s. To be careful now with
that. No, 60-ish. Not quite old.
48.
Yeah,
36.
You know. It's 57.
Yeah, I was going to say. Because we haven't had apprentices or anything for so long, the skills aren't there.
Yeah. So this is an email from Guy Robinson. I'm going to tell you about Guy in a minute. The engineering companies I've talked to are having difficulties in recruiting the next generation of engineers and need help in the recruitment and training of a skilled workforce. Without bringing in the next generation of engineers to the industry, many companies' futures are at risk. We have been working on a new and innovative training program to give new entrants to the industry engineering skills and experience so they can contribute to your business more quickly. Boosting human capital in the 21st century, or BHC 21, will take young, unemployed or low-skilled adults and train them using state-of-the-art training techniques such as virtual reality welding to acquire new skills rapidly.
We've got to talk about that.
Yeah. The training program will be practical and on the job, with every trainee carrying out a work placement in an engineering environment. In industry, they will be trained and guided by work coaches, senior experienced engineers who are undertaking their own training in teaching skills. I'm excited to say that we have an experienced and passionate team delivering this project, which includes a partnership between Mid Kent College, the University of Greenwich and the Tavistock Institute, who are a research organisation. Job Centre Plus have also joined in to help recruit young adults who are in need of a second chance, a leg up to a higher skilled, higher paid job. Our first cohort of training covering Medway, Maidstone and Swale starts in February 2020. We are now looking for employers who would like to take part in this free and fully funded project. And they have to be happy to offer a training placement. The benefits to you as a manufacturing engineering employer take part in this project are: you receive a free and modern, effective train-the-trainer program from the University of Greenwich to help your staff pass on their skills. Your trainees will be trained at college in welding, fitting and maintenance techniques over 12 weeks. Your commitment is to offer a 9-week work placement and supports your company's future by growing the workforce of tomorrow. And that's from Guy Robinson. Guy works for Kent County Council. He's the project manager for Boosting Human Capital in the 21st Century. And you can find out more by emailing him at guy.robinson@kent.gov.uk. Cool.
I think that's really good.
I think that's good. Mm. It's, you know, we need to do something to boost skills coming into that industry. A lot of people don't realise how... They don't think we make anything anymore because they don't see the big industries that we used to have once upon a time, the old steel smokestack bashing industries. But we do, we're still the eighth largest manufacturing nation on the planet, and we still manufacture an awful lot of things in this country. We just do it with advanced technology and in smaller places. But there is a massive skill shortage in engineering and manufacturing. Cool. What you got, Bird?
Help bridge the gap between schools and businesses. In Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through Skills 3030. This is a 2-hour event. Businesses hear from a local authority and relevant recruitment groups while students take part in an employment-related workshop. Then both groups get together and are facilitated through a speed network. And here's the programme. So for businesses, you have a 1-hour networking and presentations, FSB lobbying update, Kent Supported Employment Team, Enterprise Advisor Network, and Mr. Paul Andrews on skills and employment. Here's for the students, a 1-hour workshop, how to present yourself at work, how to stand out in your new job, and also use LinkedIn to your advantage. Here's where the magic happens, when you bring business and students together for 40 minutes, facilitated networking, and 10 minutes free networking. And that's where you hear loads of different stories and what each other wants, really, their wants and needs. So for more information, you need to email, and this is alison.parmar, that's P-A-R-M-A-R, at fsb.org.uk, or go onto the website, which is www.wibblywobblyway, and go into jobsinkent.com, and they are in association with the FSB, or you can go onto our website, can't you, Business Bunker,
kentbusinessradio.co.uk/30-30.
Awesome. I know. This is produced by a whisker. Isn't it, Mr. Andrews?
Whisker being the name of her cat.
No, my cat's called Chicken.
Yeah, I know. I saw Bruce kicking it about.
Of course it is.
Yeah, yeah. Does it have psychotherapy at all?
Stop it. When's the next 30-30?
It could have been worse. She could have called it Mouse.
When's the next 30-30?
It's in January, love.
It's in January, love.
All right, love.
Right, okay, so there we go. I'm trying to be sensible. I'm sat here, right? I'm looking at what's trending. I put on Tongue Out Tuesday is trending, right? So I go on and have a look at it. I've got Jason here going, get that off the screen, because there's just these dogs jumping into snow and it just takes you out of that focus. This is what's going on in social media. This is supposed to be, you know what I mean?
This is why we're not doing a show next week.
Yeah, for sure. Seriously. There's nothing serious going on. No.
Really? Unlike in here.
I'm trying.
See, we're being serious here and they're all messing about.
I'm trying,
there.
Mr. Andrews.
Yeah, very.
Anyway, carry on. That 30-30 sounds good.
Yeah. We've actually got quite a few schools signed up for next year. For the first part of the year, we've got Longfield Academy, we got St George's in Broadstairs, we've got mass schools at Paddock Wood. There's a lot. Go onto the website and look. All of them are there. As the booking opens up, the booking links will appear on there as well.
I'm going to ask you this. What type of businesses do you want?
Don't mind.
Why?
Because it's all about what business, you know, there's lots of businesses in this world, and the young people at school, and I have to be honest about this, their careers teachers don't have a great deal of information about what type of careers, what type of industries, what type of businesses are out there. Therefore, they tend to think in very small silos about what they're going to do. And what we're trying to do is open up their thinking and just show them the huge range of all kinds of different businesses of all kinds of, you know, sizes and ways of being and how they are.
And do you prime the businesses that are coming in?
No.
You don't at all?
No.
So when you have, I suppose it's a duality of learning, right?
Mm. It's definitely a two-way street. The whole idea behind this is for businesses to tell young people, students, what they want from those students, yeah, outside of their GCSEs or whatever. What we want is attitude and, you know, communication skills and a desire to work. And it's about telling those students about what it's like working in their industry, what kind of things they do, where their industries are going. By the same token, we have a massive skill shortage. You saw the unemployment figures again yesterday. Unemployment has had the biggest fall in like 9 quarters again. We have the highest rate of employment that has ever been in this country. We have a skill shortage. We have a massive shortage of people. So for employers, it's also about finding out what young people want in the world of work. Because Generation Z, those people coming into the workforce now, have a different set of thoughts and feelings about how they want to work. They've been brought up in a different environment. One of the things before the election, I was working very heavily with a minister for small business, talking about digital skill shortages, which is a massive issue in this country, because our productivity is low, because not enough people are using productivity tools. I'm looking at two guys that do productivity tools, basically. Not enough people use their tools because they don't have the skills to use them. Whereas Generation Z kind of have it in their DNA. So it's about businesses learning from Generation Z as well, how they want to work. They're going to work flexibly. I overheard one of the funniest interactions ever, and the lab was actually taking the mickey, but there was an old boy, he was younger than me, but there was an old boy that ran a really old-style printing company, and he's talking to this young lad who really knew his stuff with technology, and he's saying to this lad, yeah, well, we start at our post 8 and we finish at 5, he went, let me stop you there. He said, I don't get up till 10. And he went, no, we start half past 8. He went, no. He said, I'm useless before 10 o'clock. You wouldn't want me before 10. He said, I'll get up at 10. I'll be in by 5:30. He said, but then I'll work all the way through the evening because, you know, I'm happy to work in the evening. And the guy's getting really exasperated. He goes, no, we work from 8:30 to 5. You do not. Yeah, nobody does anymore. If you own a mobile phone, a laptop or a tablet, it does not switch off at 5 o'clock of its own accord. You know, so it is a two-way street. It's a learning process from both sides of the coin about what will attract people. And I, with my other hat on, my business jobs in Kent, one of the frustrating things I have with organisations advertising for staff is so many of them still don't understand that in a seller's market, it's a job seeker's market, you have to tell people why they should work for your company. So many of them think, well, I've offered a job. That's it. I'm paying you money. That's it. What more do I need to say? You have to compete. You have to compete for their attention. You have to compete for talent. You have to tell them why working for you is better than working for one of your competitors.
I think, though, for employers, that's a big thing. That's a massive shift, isn't it?
It is.
It doesn't matter what we do. We're used to a certain set of rules, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
It doesn't make them right.
No.
But I think it's a really interesting
change. I would say 90% of businesses haven't come to terms with that.
And those that have still don't know how to adapt to it.
Yeah, yeah, they know that there's an issue. They've just got to work out how to do it, yeah.
It's actually a conversation Jason and I've had, isn't it? Yeah. We've got children the same age as each other, and we've both got the daughter that is quite traditional and so on and so forth, but we've both got sons. You know Sam. We've both got sons that, you know, aren't bothered about this settling down, buying a house, doing any of this stuff. They want to travel, make a living, move on, get some money, get a degree, do what they want.
It's one of the things I did a big rant about.
That's not like you, Paul.
In Parliament, I talked to a lot of politicians about this and stuff, and I actually was saying, you know, one of the unintended consequences of buying a house in the southeast of England impossible for anybody under the age of 45, is you've created a different problem. Mm. Yeah, I've got sons in their 20s and 30s, and my 24-year-old. Will say, you know, he lives he has one room in a house in Brixton, yeah? He pays £850 a month rent for that one room. The chances of him ever saving a deposit to buy a two-room house for £1 million in Camberwell, are non-existent. Mm. So his whole approach to life is, I'll make money, I'll spend money. Mm. He'll work for 6 months, quit his job, and go travelling for 6 months.
Which is exactly what we're saying. Yeah. There's a whole different set of ideas. I'm not saying they'll never settle down, but there's certainly...
It's going to be a while.
I mean, how's
it's
Harry?
It's going to be 22? A long while before
Sam's
they
20.
Do.
You know, it's, Harry's finished uni, Sam's still at uni.
Yeah.
But there's no chance. I've always laughed that Sam will settle down by his time he's 50.
Mm.
And I mean that not by being sort of flippant, just that's what I see.
Us in older generations are a bit taken aback by that, because we've lived our whole life with a set pattern that says you do this, you go to school, you probably go to university, you get a degree, you get a job, you get a management job, you buy a house, you have a family, you have children, and you die. Yeah, that's a plan.
A clear plan.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in that order, obviously.
No, some of us die first. But we live in a changing world, and the world has radically changed, and the way that people work has changed. It's like one of the other things that annoys me is when politicians start banging on about zero-hour contracts without having the faintest clue what a zero-hour contract is or who does them. Mm. The fact is, if you talk to Generation Z, Generation Z are those people born after the year 2000 that are just entering the workforce. If you talk to Generation Z, it's all about flexibility.
Yeah.
Everything is about flexibility. And when you talk to them, they also, an awful lot of them, don't recognise the concept of a job in the way that previous generations recognise the concept of a job. And we still keep trying to push that concept of what I call wage slavery. Mm-hmm. Whereas most young people go, I'm not doing that. Mm. Why would I do that? I'd much rather work for myself. Mm. I'll work for you, but self-employed, you know, because... Mm. I'm only going to work for you for 3 months, and then I'm going to, with my son, I'm going volcano surfing in Guatemala.
Why not?
Because you do, yeah.
But the opportunities are different, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, our generation, the rich children went travelling.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't open to everybody it is now. They can do what they want.
Yeah.
They've got so much more choice. And I don't think we should try and put them in boxes, because
absolutely.
That's what we've always done in the past.
Yeah. I do agree, and I don't. So human behaviour hasn't changed. It's always the same. We have the same Maslow hierarchy of needs. It's always the same.
Yeah.
We talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
But also, and I do believe this, and I've got Nick Danes coming on tomorrow onto my show. That's not bad, is it?
An hour and 26 minutes without mentioning your show.
What, the nicknames I introduced you to? Yes. That one.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm good at this.
Yeah.
Because I just go, I'll have you, Nick Danes. You can come in to my show and let's talk about
metaphorically
wealth building and how do we invest and what is an investment and actually what is an asset. And Robert Kiyosaki puts it beautifully, and I love this, and I think if only we all felt like this, let alone just it being Generation X, Y, Z, millennials, I don't care what generation you are, and it's assets feed me and liabilities eat me.
Yeah.
And if you haven't got an asset, then it will take away from you.
Yeah.
And most people don't build assets. Now, an experience might be an asset.
I was going to say, but you have to think about what an asset is.
And
you can have tangible assets, you know, houses and cars or whatever, works of art or whatever. But one of the greatest things that you can have as an asset is talent, ability and experience.
Sure. Yeah? Mm. But not all houses or properties are an asset.
No,
and
exactly.
You have to measure it. Mm. But debt, we know, disempowers so much.
Yeah.
And we know in this country that we live 130% of our wages.
Is that all?
Seriously.
You haven't seen my credit card bill,
have
you?
We've got the highest amount of
debt. Don't forget, though, we're only earning £400 a year.
Exactly, Jason. Greed. That's my point exactly. But it's a nonsensical thing. So it brings us, it agreeing and disagreeing all at the same time, isn't it?
Yep.
Yes, have experiences. But you do have to then think, well, what is this experience going to give me? Is this going to feed me, or is this going to starve me?
It's interesting, isn't it? And it could be a huge conversation to moving on, but I want to talk to Jason about what he does in a minute, because we're fast running out of time, actually. But you're absolutely right. But again, it all depends what that asset is, where that asset is, and what you do. And one of the things I love about both millennials and Generation Z is they see the world as a place to be.
Yes,
not
it's
any
global.
Particular place. Yeah. You know, they go all over the place. And, you know, my youngest was saying to me the other day, do you know, I might go to Hong Kong and stuff like that. I went, well, wait till the riots are finished, won't you? And he went, yeah, whatever.
Pick your time.
Yeah. But, you know, it's nothing's limited. Yeah, they can see all over the place. So I like that. Yeah.
But we have taught them that.
Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Oh, yeah. I take full credit.
Yes, thank you.
Well done. Well done.
Good job.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. I expect an award for that.
Do you?
Yeah,
I'll make one.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I'll tell you what, while we're talking to Nettie, why don't you introduce the guest that you brought along to us?
Yeah, it's Jason. Yeah, yeah.
The one that you sent to the wrong radio station.
I did not.
Riftonet, that's disgraceful administration.
But I arrived before my guest.
Yeah, yeah.
Unheard
that's
of.
A first.
That's never happened the motive, before.
Wasn't yeah, it? Game
never
over.
Yes, that's because you sent me to the wrong place.
We've just completed 11 years of broadcasting this show, and now it's just come to a complete end because Nettie turned up before the guests. That has never happened before,
it's
ever.
It's genuinely never happened.
And we didn't even congratulate her either on it. We were astounded,
weren't we? We were staggered. We just sat there with our mouths open. Anyway.
Nothing else
go
to
for
say.
It.
Well, I've brought Jason along, and I think the best person to talk about Jason is Jason.
Sure.
They've got a family-owned business called Flowbird, and I'll let him talk about where it came from and what it does.
Well, first of all, in line with abusing guests and co-presenters and stuff like that, I need to ask Jason the question. What a fabulous name you have.
What, Flowbird?
No, your own name.
Rainbird.
Jason Rainbird. Yeah. Do you know the entomology of that?
It's basically, well, two things. It's the name of a woodpecker.
Right.
Which obviously with a nose like mine is interesting. But also it's quite common in places like Suffolk. So I'm
Not
moving to Suffolk because then I would just be
just
normal,
blend in.
Common.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's in the Doomsday Book as a little bit of blue blood, obviously pretty diluted by now. But that's where the original place. But yeah, woodpecker is the original.
Wow.
Okay. So there we go.
Oh, I love it. I love people with different types of names.
Don't get me started on birds. I love birds. We've got two. I love that. I love birds. I am obsessed with different styles of birds.
That's why she calls us.
No, it's bird. Well, yes.
No, anyway, that's just
sorry,
a sexist.
Carry on, Jason. Yeah. I just find that fascinating. Yeah. Yeah. We've got two types of woodpeckers in our garden at the minute. Go figure.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Anyway, cool. Sorry, Jason.
So,
on.
Jason. Anyway, thank you for that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Flowbird?
Flowbird.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are basically a CRM and marketing automation agency.
Right.
I think what makes us different is that whereas a lot of people that we work with, particularly marketing agencies, etc., and that's what I was talking earlier about the SEO and PPC, they're all about lead generation, lead generation. Need more leads, more leads. And what we actually do is we've actually reversed that and said, well, actually, if you look after what you've got, like the customers that you've got, and you look after the prospects that you've got, then actually you don't need to spend as much money. And the money that you do spend is better invested. So we put together packages where we'll go into a customer and we'll say, right, okay, so three basic problems. Let's convert more of the traffic that's hitting your website. So we'll look at ways of doing that. Once you've got that lead, let's look at nurturing that. And what a lot of companies do, unfortunately, is they'll kind of get the hot leads in and they'll work on the hot leads and then they'll basically push the rest aside. And we're saying, well, actually, if you work on all of them, just because someone's inquired today doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to buy today. So it may be a long-term burn. Mm. And most companies, we all know, we've made an inquiry, we get a phone call, we may get an email or whatever, and then we're kind of tossed aside. So we're looking to long-term nurture those people, keep them on the back burner until they're ready. And then the final part of that is retention. My personal passion is in retention. So how can you keep your customers for longer? And so we put plans and processes in place that will enable us to grow your customers. And we all know the stats, you know, it's 6 to 7 times cheaper to keep an existing customer than it is to get a new one. So
unless you're an insurance company, apparently.
Oh, you're out the door.
Yeah. That's your year over.
So you're kind of, that's kind of the process. So what ends up with, but one of the things you mentioned earlier was about automation. Mm. And obviously a lot of what we do is marketing automation.
Yep.
But the one thing that we're really, really keen and quite passionate about is pushing those leads back to the sales team to say, look, this person has now expressed enough interest. They are, get on the phone, pick the blinking phone up, have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
So the human element of what the biggest kind of objection we get at the beginning is, well, we don't want it all automated. We want to talk to people. And we're like, absolutely, that's exactly what we do. So we'll sort out the CRM system and then we'll say, right, get back on the phone.
It's a bit like I was ranting about earlier with IVR boxes, interactive voice response box. Yeah. It's not the technology that's a problem. No. It's how you deploy it that's the problem.
Yeah,
you need the technology, I would suggest, you know, in terms of your sales and service support people need on hand to know about the customer profile, the customer numbers, your account number, whatever. They need all of that data in order to talk to you.
Yeah.
What we don't need is to put that in between a human being and a customer.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah, cool.
We need a process of qualification. You know, if you've got 100 inquiries coming on, you can't talk to all of those people at the same time. So we've got to have a process that says, okay, these top 10 people have expressed enough interest. Get on the phone to those people and talk to those, and then work your way down and let the nurturing process look after the rest. And then, you know, when they're ready, timing, contracts, whatever the process is, then obviously we can move forwards from there. And that's basically we do. So we package it all up and we put it in.
So do you actually supply the CRM software?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is it software that you've pulled together from elsewhere, or is it software that you've written yourself? How does that work?
No, we partner with a couple of systems. So we partner with Pipedrive, which is not like first or second most popular CRM system. And it's for a reason, because it's so easy to use. So from a user perspective, they get in, they understand it pretty quick. A lot of people buy it and then they kind of set it up. So we will do a little bit of consultancy around cleaning it up for them and getting it working right. And then we then bolt on our CRM, our marketing automation stuff that then starts to sort of work with that as part of the process. And that works well for us. And then we have other CRM systems. If Pipedrive's not the right system for a particular client, for whatever reason, then we other systems that we can implement. The key thing really, from our perspective, and I say this to all our clients, you've got to get the salespeople using the CRM system. That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter what they do, get them it. And we have systems and processes in place that will kind of coerce them into using it on a day-to-day basis. And that's the most important aspect of it.
Just step me through. If I'm a salesman I go, right, okay, all right, Jason, I'll go for it. Yeah. I've been a salesman 20 years. I know what I'm doing, but I'll go your way. What is it you're trying to get me to do? What is it you want me to do with that CRM system? Is it just familiarising with the customer profile? What actually happens? Talk me through the process.
The most important thing is you use it to do your job.
Right.
So you've got calls to make, you've got emails to send, you've got meetings to have.
Yep.
Updating that, because you're sharing that information. If you're a one-man band, then obviously you go out, you see the person, you don't necessarily need to document that. But if you're sharing with a manager and colleagues and everything else. Mm. But what we're also doing, which is the clever stuff, is that it's not just there to as a reporting tool, which most people think CRM system are. Mm-hmm. It's actually to help you do it. So when you come in the morning, you know, these are the people, these are the hot people, these are people that you need to feedback. So you do your job much quicker.
Yep.
And what we also do, which really works well, is that we say to right, you tell me what your sales target is, and you say, well, it's X. And then we'll reverse engineer that, and we'll say to right, this is what activity you've got to do every single day. And if you do that, you'll hit your sales target, yeah. Right? And it's estimated that something like 75% of salespeople don't hit their sales target every yeah. single year. And yeah. so we reverse that and say, right, okay, just do the mechanics. The one thing that you've got control over is your activity. Pick the phone up, you know, go and have a meeting, go and send a proposal. You can't control the output. You can't control the sale, but you can control what you physically do today. Yeah. And then that's an education then. And so sales managers love it because you don't have to go, you know, you haven't sold this. You've not put the work in.
Yeah.
So it's a much more objective argument than going, you know, where's that deal coming from? And so from everyone's perspective, it just works
yeah.
really, really well. So.
Cool. You're absolutely right. And back in the day with things like recruitment consultants, which I know a little bit about, that they had very definite metrics that you had to make 75 calls in order to pick up 10 clients and that kind of thing. And you get lots of recruiters that weren't doing the amount of calls and therefore didn't ever make the targets that they were set.
Yeah.
And it's not just about calls, but, no. you know, there's all kinds of metrics there. And I guess, looking at this in a different way, a CRM system like that will probably help you work out what those metrics are.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, you'll get very clear. You'll get very clear ratios. So we will sit down with the customer and say, OK, let's say it's 10 calls a day.
Yeah.
And then after 6 months, we'll go back and say, well, actually, you only need to make 8 calls a day. Or we look at another part of the thing. So you've got a bottleneck here in this process. Let's change that. So you can just keep feeding that data back in. And then, but the other thing is that we're also looking to do is clear the clutter from your pipeline. Don't have a deal on there that's been there for 2 years. Just get it off, cleanse your data, get the system to start to nurture that person, and then concentrate on the you know, the warm and the hot leads.
Right.
And let the system churn over in the background.
Okay.
And so click, click, and it's all happening.
Okay. I need to ask you this. When you're talking to organisations about CRM, especially now, what's the implications and does it scare people with things like GDPR?
It's always a question that comes up.
Yep.
And it always comes down to the same thing. Basically, where did the inquiry come from? I think what a lot of people do wrong is they go, I can't talk to anyone anymore.
Yeah,
I'll just sit and wait.
Yeah.
And I think that's not actually the truth. You know, if you've had a genuine inquiry, then follow that through.
Yeah.
Obviously, we educate people about the fact that you can't cross-sell. You can't, you know, if you've got, you're selling kitchens, you can't suddenly start selling them garages or something, or cars or something like that.
Yeah.
But as long as you've got a legitimate inquiry at the beginning, and this is where, for us, the long-term nurture comes in, because we're now keeping in contact with those people in long-term. And then you don't have to keep worrying about new business and et cetera, et cetera.
And presumably you've got an audit trail of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you go
where it came from.
Because one of the funny things that we have on my job portals is we have a sign up for jobs by email.
Yes.
Which a user has to fill in, and they have to choose to put their CV on it, and they have to choose to tell us what we can do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a whole list of things, and we don't do anything unless they tell us to do it. We still get you get emails from people who are just going, you've spammed me. And we go, no, we haven't. You signed up for this. I'm reporting you. Yeah. And we go, actually, you signed up on the 19th of January at 4:30 in the afternoon, and they go, oh, I don't remember. Because you know, people are a bit daft like that sometimes.
And it is important. It is important to track that. And that's where I think not having a CRM system in place is fundamental. You know, it's a big, massive problem.
Yeah.
And to me, your customer database, your lead database, is the most important part of your business.
Yeah.
Without that, you don't. As we said before, it's your road to Manchester. If you don't have that, you've got nothing.
Yeah.
So what do you do next?
Well, £400 is what you've got.
Yeah.
So what sort of size business would you start wanting? Because you don't want a startup as such, do you? You want something a little bit established, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, a really sweet spot for us is someone who's been going at least 2 years, so they've got some sort of established database, because we want to start to mine the existing client database and start to grow that. At the same time, the people that are a good fit for us have what I call a complex sales process. So it takes more than one phone call, maybe a meeting. If you're picking up the phone and you're selling on the phone, job done. They're probably not a good ideal fit. Mm. So as long as you've maybe got a salesperson in place, part-time marketing person in place, that's a really, really good fit for us. Employee-wise, anything from sort of 5 people up to 50 people, doesn't really matter. Mm. It's the kind of the process that they go through, their sales process, to make it work.
Cool. Where do you see this kind of thing going? What's the future of what you're doing?
Going back to what you were saying earlier about sort of automation element, and I still am a massive believer in the fact that the human, we're still human. So we still can't take away from the fact that there will still be an interaction. As you said earlier about the customer service element, that element becomes more and more important. Yes, marketing automation as a process will get more intelligent. We can already monitor what people do, and then AI can have an effect on the information. We see it quite a lot where companies still do sort of like the monthly boom. They just send an email to everybody regardless of anything. And more and more people just then don't open those. So drip feeding small emails that are very, very relevant to people, or SMS messages. So
you're kind of micro-targeting.
Absolutely, yeah. 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 It's better to send 10 emails that are going to get opened than 100 emails where, no one's opening them. The information, and that's where the intelligence is now. It's specifically saying, what are you interested in?
Yeah.
What will you do to open that email so that you don't hit that unsubscribe button? Because that's absolutely critical.
Absolutely. And that's the whole direction of technology for me is to make everything more personal.
Yeah.
Back in the day, back in the 20th century, even with things like advertising, TV and radio, it was all about numbers. It was all the biggest number you could possibly have so that when you threw something at it, there was enough of a percentage of that it worked for.
Yeah.
Say if you had a radio show with 1 million listeners, like 5% of them may be your target market, but you give it to a lot of them because there was no way of narrowing it down anymore. Yeah. And of course, nowadays, things like Facebook and Google and Twitter and LinkedIn can highly target everything you're doing. Yeah. So you don't need to send so much. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And does your system help with identifying those targets in terms of the types of customers that you have on the database?
Yeah, the thing that it does do, which is where we work with a lot of PPC agencies, is that the inquiries will come in and they'll kind of get, yes, we've got a conversion, we've got a lead. But what we're able to do is we're able to take that lead all the way through the CRM system to a final sale. And then that final sale can go back to the PPC agency and say, right, okay, that particular advert generated this amount of business.
Right.
So they like it, plus the customer likes it. But then what you can also do is there's two things. There's the customer journey. How did that customer end up becoming? So you look back through their sort of their history and say, well, they opened that email, they visited that page on the website, they spoke to this salesperson. So you start to map out the process.
Yeah.
And obviously the profiling then helps as well. So you get to know, because that data's in the database, in the CRM system, size of company, if that's relevant, number of employees, if that's relevant, whatever's relevant to you, you can then profile your new business. And then, as I say, it's what they call closed loop. You're then taking that final thing, putting it back to the beginning and starting again, and then you've got the whole thing going around. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I want to ask you this as well, and it may not be a relevant question, in which case you tell me to get lost. Yeah. But from the data that you see, and I know this is just a really open-ended question, because I'm just kind of getting a generalised feel. In terms of marketing, have you a feel for what works best? Is it emails? Is it social media marketing? Is it still cold calling? What's the mix that you see that tends to work?
The thing that works best is... less sales, more education.
Yeah.
So when you're sending an email, don't be selling. And we always have a bit of a battle at the beginning with clients because they're like, sell. And we're like, people don't engage with that. Email is still the most effective, undoubtedly.
Right, okay.
Social media has its place.
Yep.
And I'm not a social media expert by any stretch, but I tell clients that social media will enforce the brand. So I will see you as a company. I will go to your social media and I will see that the last post wasn't 2007 and you basically died. So that's an important aspect of it. But I think companies have lots and lots of knowledge. you know, if I talk to you about recruitment, you know more about recruitment than your clients do. So you share that data, helps them, and in turn they come back to you. Mm. And we're like, take the knowledge that you've got and share that out, share that out, share that out. And then, you know, we come back to you, build authority, you build knowledge, and you build interest. People are interested, you know. I think the old adage is you don't buy a drill, you buy a hole.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way it goes. You know? And so getting companies to do that is what's critical. So an email is still always the most effective way, with a little bit of text messaging, WhatsApp, and whatever else.
Right.
Of getting through, as long as they're done in a particular way.
It's interesting. I suppose, thinking about that, the thing about an email is it still leaves the customer at their discretion. So you can open it and read it whenever you want. Yeah. With social media, you're just bombarded with it. Yeah. It kind of floats across your face and you either stop and read it or you don't. Yeah. Whereas an email can sit in your, if you're Jules, it can sit in your box for about 9 years. But
talking about that though, one of the systems, one of the things that our system does, it learns about the person.
Yeah.
So we had a particular client who didn't work Monday, Tuesdays. She came into the office on Wednesday. And then she worked Wednesday, Thursdays, and she dealt all her office stuff in the morning. And then at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon was her peak for reading her emails. So our system had detected that the best time to send her an email was at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
And so that's why that's why the one-to-one and the effectiveness of it. It works out what's better. You may be 11 o'clock at night person on a Sunday afternoon, you know, or a Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
And then the emails will come straight to you at that particular time. So hopefully you're sitting there.
Yeah,
and that improves the engagement.
Right.
So,
Jason, thank you for that. That's really fascinating. Outside of the technology, how long has the business been established? Where are you, and where are you going?
Hopefully, we're not going anywhere. So, we started 2013.
Right.
My background has been CRM consultancy. We're based at Repton Manor near Waitrose.
By Waitrose there.
Yeah, so by Waitrose. And, all the new flats. And hopefully there'll be a coffee shop. And
eventually.
The growth is where, you know, what we're after.
You're right.
We've got a 10-year plan, haven't we, Nettie?
We have.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. It's better than a five-year plan, because five-year plans tend to end up with Turnip growing or something. I thinking of the Politburo there?
When you've only got £400 a year for the first three or four, you know, there's not much left to go.
No, there's not left to go with.
Get to year six, we might get a grand, Jason, and then we can go for it.
That's profit. That's profit, Nettie. Profit.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't talk about turnover, do we?
We don't, no. I had to take an accountant to task over that on social media recently.
You did, didn't you? We laughed about it.
We did, yeah. I saw some account, and I understand why they did it, but it really, really annoyed me. It was about Amazon, and they posted this on Twitter, a large firm of accountants, and they said Amazon had revenues of $9 billion last year and only paid tax of $7 million. And I went, "You're an accountant. You should know you do not pay corporation tax on revenue, and you should not propagate that myth, because those people that don't know keep trotting it out as if it meant something, and it doesn't." Anyway, enough of that. Jason, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to talk to you. We wish you much success with Flowbird and that you hit all your targets, and we wish you a successful 2020. If people want to find out more about what you do, what's the best way of doing that?
Flowbird.co.uk.
Fantastic. There is a link to the website on the Kent Business Radio website that will stay there forever. So if you ever want to find out about it, the link is there, but it's flowbird.co.uk. Do check it out. Jason, thank you so much. Stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. We haven't actually got long left. But
I know, and I've got a really interesting question, but I don't want to answer
it. No, go and ask it.
Where do you see the CRM going in connection with blockchain?
It wasn't that interesting.
Because of the trail that you're saying. So blockchain, we know, is the most precise way of literally proving that something's happened. Would you see CRM working alongside it? Do you see it's totally different? Do you use blockchain?
Blockchain is my... I mean, I'm not an expert on this, but blockchain, as far as I know, is a sort of a banking method. So obviously, once you take a transaction out, it checks with every other transaction. I can't see CRM having an... I don't know how they would be connected.
Because it's really interesting, because it sounds very similar, the way that it collates data, the way that you can...
A lot of people will talk about blockchain and its potential applications in a lot of different things. And one of the things that I look at when I see that is sometimes I think you're just saying that without actually thinking through what happens here. Blockchain is a transaction management methodology. So you could manage any transaction using blockchain.
Well, that's what this is, isn't it? Yeah, CRM is a transaction.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know?
It's whether whether it has a benefit to doing it that way is the issue, isn't it, really, at this moment.
I guess the only correlation I can come to is, very simply, is within the CRM system, you do have the ability to basically click on a button and it goes off and finds lots of evidence about that particular person, what their social media accounts are, etc. So there is a kind of a connection between your CRM system and the outside world.
Yeah.
That's the only way I would see a connection.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so much I want to ask. But it's really interesting. I remember years ago, do you remember we used to send, obviously we send emails and I had people going, you put it to my name. And you know, and people, I know, and they're like, wow. And you're like, what's my CRM system? It's actually not me. And I think people are getting used to that point now. And actually then this question of how many people open up? We know that the opening of emails now is reduced radically to 10 years ago. So how effective is CRM now today compared to what it used to be? Is there a future for CRM? How do you see the business going?
I think we come back to what we said earlier. I said people are still using kind of the concept of the shoot you blast out. This is my message. I want to get that out to my people. And what they're not doing is taking into consideration the person actually reading the email.
Yeah.
So that's why the opening rates, because it's easy now to go million emails, thousand emails, whatever the number be, and kind of not really care about what the connection is. I think it's better to use the CRM properly and go, this email should go at this time to this person. It should be about this topic.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is much more effective.
Mm.
So,
absolutely.
You want me to stop talking now, don't
you?
No.
Well, I'm going to shut down in a minute.
Well,
so
also as well, you know, we're given these times, this is the best time to do it on this day at this time. Actually, what you're saying, that might not be strictly too true to your people, to your tribe, to the people, what message you've got to say. What you're saying is actually it doesn't matter how people behave, it's how that person behaves.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. If you look at social media, a lot of people will tell you that there are certain times to post.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just believed them and was doing that until I accidentally posted at a wrong time, and all of a sudden people read the tweet. And I suddenly discovered that for a lot of my followers, the time that they want to read my tweets isn't one of the standard times.
No, same with me.
So you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
We're almost at the end of the show. I've got a few things to read out. Have you got anything that needs to be read out? There's a free social media event. Come along to ZC Social Media Academy on the 23rd of January. It's 2 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Bridgewood Manor Hotel Chatham. That's at the top of Bluebell Hill. Zoe Cairns will be sharing with you the latest updates and trends in social media. It's completely free to attend.
How much?
It's free. Yeah. It is absolutely free. It's not four. It's free. It's free to attend. And if you want to book your free place, it's eventbrite.co.uk/ZC Social Media Academy, 23rd of January. So do check that out.
Please go onto our website to see the diary dates for marshnetwork.co.uk. You can go onto theirs, which is www.marshnetwork.co.uk. There are about 9 or 10 different meetings that are coming up. Go and check it out on either Business Bunker's website or marshnetwork.co.uk.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson who says, I want to say a big thank you to the Business Bunker Show, Vanilla Web, Jill Serkin, Bird on a Bike for your continued support, shout outs, mentions and retweets over the last year. I appreciate the opportunity to come on the show to talk about the careers fairs and my plucky project. And Merry Christmas to you all. And a Merry Christmas to you, Tracy, too.
I've got one more. Fruitworks Community Workspace is expanding. They've got loads of stuff going on. No long-term commitment, hot desk, fixed desk and small private office space. You need to go to www.fruitworks.co. It's not .com. It's not .co.uk. It's .co.co.
It is indeed. Works Diverse are very excited to announce a collaboration with iTrust Assure. Works Diverse are a diversity auditing organisation, and iTrust Assure are a anonymous whistleblowing organisation, and they are running a diversity and inclusion workshop. Speak Out Diversity and Inclusion, it's called. It's taking place on the 16th of January at Chilston Park. It's a whole day event from 9:30, and Chilston Park is at Lenham, just outside Maidstone. If you want to book a ticket, it's eventbrite.co.uk, Speak Out Diversity.
Nice.
There you go. There is a show for the Business Monkey Extra Show this Friday at 11 a.m. Our sister show, and it's going to be a Christmas special. It's Amanda with all the co-hosts.
We weren't allowed to have that.
Yeah, we were. We were.
Nobody
but
wanted,
nobody wanted to come.
Yeah.
It was going to be on Christmas Eve, but you all turned me down. So there.
No commitment.
Yeah. We were consistent in our approach.
Yes. Yeah.
No. Who wants to work for £400? That's what I say.
Profit. Profit, dear. Profit.
Well, that's okay then.
So the Business Bunker Extra Show, 11 o'clock on Friday, with the lovely Amanda Flanders and her team of co-hosts. That'll be Julie Daniels and Gemma Fairclough-Haynes and Ben Abbott, I guess.
So, can I just ask, is Amanda reading this book?
Which book?
The one you've been reading about co-hosts.
I'm finished it, yeah.
Well, please don't hand it to her.
Okay, all right.
We're not really endorsing it, are we? Have you got a show tomorrow?
I have, with Nick Danes.
Don't start teeing her up. We're not
what
having
time
that.
One
till two next.
One till two.
Yes,
Ristinette. You're not in next week because it's Christmas Day.
You've got it all the following week.
Because that's New Year's
Day.
There
we
well
go.
Planned.
We're thank finished. You. We've gone off air.
Merry Christmas.
That's it for 2019.
I know.
We'll be back.
We've had hell of a year, haven't we?
We have indeed. It's been brilliant. And yep. We'll be back with a new show on the 7th of January.
Can I just say to you, thank you, Mr. Andrews. Thank you for a great year. Thank you for coming on and doing Business Bunker. I know that everybody loves it, and I'm always pulled aside and said, we love it. So thank you.
No, thank you. And we love doing the show.
We do, don't we?
And we love having you on the show every
not
week
me,
as well.
Not me, you. Yeah.
No. It's a team thing, isn't it?
It is.
It is a team thing. We'll be back on the 7th of January 2020 for the start of our 12th year in broadcasting. If you really want to, you can hear me on the 6th of January.
Where?
Because for some bizarre reason, I'm the guest on the Kent Business Connect show on the 6th of January at 3 p.m. on the Monday or whatever day of the week. No, it's a Monday, yeah. Do tune into that.
I've got an amazing show for the beginning of the year, and it's all about body bravery and awareness.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, we've got to go because it's the end of the show.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to everybody. Have a healthy, happy and safe New Year, and we'll see you all in January. Bye for now.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.